This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. United Healthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Start with a broadcast section with no embargo, followed by an embargoed section for 10:30 p.m. tonight. No live tweeting during the broadcast section. Phone provided, Paul.
Thank you. Hi, Ange.
Hey.
Ange, do you have any fresh injury concerns ahead of the Nottingham Forest game? And in particular, is Brennan Johnson okay to face his former club?
Yeah, Brennan's fine. He's no problem. The only one is Richie. He's had a bit of a niggle with his knee the last couple of weeks, and we kind of feel he probably... better he takes this weekend off and sort of hopefully totally recovers and be available for Newcastle next. But everyone else is fine.
As much as you're aiming for higher than top four in the short term this week, you've gained a point on Aston Villa. Manchester United have lost. Do you see it as a straight shootout between you and Aston Villa for Champions League football next season?
Look, the ladder positions and points tally would suggest that, but you know, as I've said many times, it's not something that's at the forefront of my mind. What's in my, you know, what's more important to me is, you know, how we're playing and, you know, to finish the season strong and, you know, wherever that takes us, that takes us. So, you know, I'm not looking at other clubs' results on the weekend to see whether, you know, we can get, you know, into the, you know, fourth position or whatever position it is on the ladder. I just don't think that's where we are as a team. You know, we've got to focus on ourselves this year and, as I said, finish strong. And if that means we finish, you know, fourth or whatever, then great. But, you know, we're getting to the tail end of the season now. I think we've got 8 games to go. I think Villa's got 7. So, but you can see on the weekend and during the midweek, every game's, there's some, you know, everyone's fighting for something. You know, it's a good time of the year to be involved.
Away from Tottenham, it is the Old Firm this weekend. I just wondered, will you be watching? How would you sum up that rivalry?
Yeah, I think it's early on Sunday, so I'll definitely be watching. And yeah, it's one of the biggest rivalries in world football, mate. And I'm very much on the green and white side. And hoping the lads. I know what it means to the supporters to win that game. You know, it's you know, as much as we talk about derbies and they mean more, this one does. You know, I lived and breathed it for a couple of years, and it's a really important game, you know, for both clubs. And you know, looking how tight the table is this year, I think takes on extra significance because you know that most of the time that's what's going to separate the two sides maybe at the end of the year. So be a cracking game, and I'll be tuning in.
Hi, Ange. You said on Tuesday after the West Ham game that your attack lacked a bit of clarity of thought. We have seen, though, a really nice understanding develop between Brennan Johnson, who's been fantastic the last couple of weeks, and also Timo Werner. So I just wondered, how do you view that attack when you have those two playing with Heung-min Son up front?
Yeah, no, that, you know, that part of it, I think, has been, has been developing well. And yeah, part of our process is, you know, you try and provide information and feedback to the players, but it's up to them to take that on board and put it into action. I think it helps when they get rewards for it, and certainly Brennan, as you said, and Timo both sort of scored or assisted the last couple of weeks, probably longer than that last 4 or 5 weeks, which is great. But, you know, that's not our only avenue to attack. And you know, I thought the other night, you know, we had some better options out there. We just rushed a little bit. You know, that was kind of, looking at our analysis, we got into some great areas, and probably, you know, some of our decision making wasn't great. And probably, we, like I said, we had more time than we thought. But again, you know, you provide that feedback back to the players, and hopefully we can begin to sort of develop in that area as well.
West Ham's equaliser, of course, came from a set piece. I just wondered how much of a concern, or is that something that you're looking at in training, working on specifically in training, trying to reduce the number of goals that you concede in from set pieces?
Yeah, look, I think we've been pretty good at set pieces. I mean, you know, you're always got, every goal you concede is down to something. It was a decent delivery the other night, and they got some big guys. The rest of the set piece, I thought we handled really well. I thought we gave away too many corners. I think that was an issue for us. When you do against a team like West Ham, who are such a big side physically, and they've got such great delivery with Bowen and Ward-Prowse, you're asking for trouble. So I thought, again, that was part of the game. We thought we could have handled a bit better, not to give away so many. But I think, you know, I think those kind of things, people just kind of look at the snapshot. I mean, our winning goal against Luton came from a defensive corner, our setup. So, you know, I think with all these things, I tend to take a longer-term view on them. And for the most part, I think we've been pretty decent.
And finally for me, obviously you faced Nottingham Forest on Sunday. They're fighting for their lives at the bottom of the table. They got a big win over Fulham in midweek. So what kind of a challenge are you expecting from them on Sunday?
Yeah, massive. As you said, they're fighting for their every point, every goal. And I mean, I think you would have noticed that across every game, that everyone is fighting for something, whether that's up the top, up the bottom, in the middle. Everyone's fighting for something. And from our perspective, we know that we have to hit a certain level of, you know, effort, competitiveness every week. And for the most part, we've been pretty good. I mean, I think the Fulham game was probably the one that, you know, was disappointing for us. But even against West Ham, as you know, we weren't pleased with the outcome. But you know, it's a difficult place to go. You know, they're a very well organised side, and it wasn't through lack of effort that we didn't get what we needed. And it's going to be the same on the weekend. You know, for Forest, like I said, everything for them is crucial at the moment. So they're not going to come here and just give us anything. We're going to have to earn everything, and be up to us to do it.
Angelo, Brennan Johnson going up against his former club Forest, and I just wondered how he's developed. I was just looking since January, he's got 5 goals, including one for Wales. And what sort of change, how have you converted him into being more lethal, really, since you signed him in August?
Well, I think we've made him more lethal. I think, you know, his goal scoring record before he arrived to us was pretty decent. I just think, you know, we play obviously a little bit differently, and it takes time, you know, and especially in those front areas. I've said before that there's a lot more pressure on new signings because they get invariably measured against, you know, outcomes in terms of goals and assists, and if you don't have that, then. But his general play was always, you know, still very good for us, you know. But what I think now, he's found a bit of confidence and a bit of consistency in both an understanding of the way we play, and like I said, he's getting the rewards, which is great. But you know, he's still a young guy, and you know, we bought him with very much an eye that, you know, whatever he does this year, we know there's a lot more in him. And when you see improvement, that kind of encourages us even more, because it means that, you know, if we invest the time in him, he's gonna become a super player for us.
That's Charlie, please.
I just want to ask, this week's Spurs financial results came out and look healthy. Is that something now, as a manager, you have to be, I know it's very dry, but is that something you need to be conscious of with thinking about the summer and targets and PSR and all of that?
Yeah, I mean, the detail of it is not of, you know, it's not my area, again, of concern or expertise. It's more, like I said, the overall picture of, you know, where we are as a football club and what it means for us in terms of, you know, further building on what we've started. And, you know, that is important, because if we were restricted, you know, I've only had 2 windows so far to kind of try and build a side we hope will be successful. You know, if there's a more positive outlook from a financial perspective, then that certainly helps us with our planning and kind of, you know, not just for, you know, this window, but for the next couple of windows, and potentially what we can do to sort of, you know, get the squad to where we need it to be.
Was that something you were conscious of when taking this job? You know, is that a question you ask now as a manager? Or how are they set, you know, financially, investment-wise, and all of that?
Well, you know, to a certain extent, but you, at the same time, you know that ultimately, until you're in the role and you understand exactly, you know, the workings of the football club and you know, what's going to be required, you know, I think you always go into these things with your eyes wide open in that, you know, you don't expect sort of real clarity about anything until you're actually in the role. So you can ask the questions, but, you know, it's like, you know, they can ask me questions about how the team's going to play, but until I actually put it into practice, they're just words, you know. So, you know, from my perspective, I think, you know, I've had a pretty sort of clear line of communication as to where we're at as a football club, and what I've sort of taken on hasn't surprised me in any way. You know, we're in a good position, and hopefully we can build on that.
One thing as well, some fans want to see against low blocks, players taking more shots from range. I'm just wondering. I know this.
You're just wondering if that's how I coach.
Or yeah. No.
Do a poll amongst supporters and say, "What do you reckon we need this?"
No. This is a very niche question, but I just mean like in a game model like yours, is that just like a side point? You know, is that something you would ever talk about against a certain team? There will be spaces. Can we have more shots from distance rather than that kind of, you know, more intricate way of playing?
Okay. Yeah, so are my players allowed to shoot?
Yeah, exactly. Do they get fined if they shoot?
I get that. You probably would have had that. Yes, they're allowed to shoot. Yeah. No, look, it's you know, as I said the other night, there was some opportunities there that we probably, you know, we kind of rushed things in terms of, you know, the way we could create more opportunities for ourselves. But again, I always think those kind of things are just a moment in time. I think if you look at the goals we've scored this year, I can remember at least, you know, two or three, Sonny in particular, scoring from outside the box. So it's not something that, you know, especially in that front third, a lot of it is around the quality of your players and the instinctiveness of your players and all the teams I've had. I try and make it as less structured in that front third as possible, but you always, I think, achieve better outcomes or more possibilities, more avenues to goal, because ultimately that's what my teams want to do, score goals, and they always have, is, you know, by creating some sort of fluency that allows players to make the best decisions in there.
Hi, Ange, how are you?
I'm good, mate.
Just going back a little bit to the financial stuff you were talking about just now and budgets and looking forward to maybe bringing players in the summer. Spurs, one of the only teams that actually spent money during the January transfer window, and clubs generally were watching very carefully what they were spending. Thoughts the Premier League are going to have new financial rules and maybe not take points off teams that go over it, but maybe a financial penalty. Is that the way forward regarding clubs maybe spending more money and adding more quality to their squads?
I reckon you're as kind of as intricately sort of, your understanding is about as good as mine with that question in terms of what's happening. Look, I understand that, you know, obviously there's, and I come from a world where it has been very, very regulated. So equalisation in Australia, a bit like American sports, is very, very big. Yeah. So I've come from that world, and I didn't like it one bit. But there's always an understanding you've got to sort of create some sort of competitive balance so that, you know, there isn't too much of a divide between, you know, clubs that, you know, can spend, you know, at random almost at times against clubs that have restrictions. So you want to keep that balance. But I've always felt not at the expense of bringing the, you know, or demotivating people from being the best they can be. And sometimes I've felt, so in Australia we've had, you know, a salary cap, and we've had, you know, I think a bit similar to what they're calling a luxury tax, and it keeps the competition even, yeah, but I always felt it also suppressed the ability to kind of, you know, maybe try and be better than the rest. Yeah, America's kind of similar, but I think whatever model they come up with, you know, it's that balance of keeping it competitive, because you do want competitive leagues, you don't want teams just to outspend and win things, but at the same time not suppress that ability for excellence, you know, because I've always said it's not just about having money, it's how you spend it, you know, and you can spend, I can have half the money somebody else doesn't. If I spend it better, I can still beat them, you know, so it's that balance. But for you and me, mate, we'll leave that to the financial people. We'll talk about the football.
Something I may understand more is football then. Much was made of your late goal against Sheffield United because it came so late. I think it was the latest goal at that moment scored in Premier League history. There was a later one last night. Why are we getting so many late goals and our matches now almost, are you preparing almost for 2-hour matches?
2-hour, not...
Sorry, 1 hour and a half.
No, you're right. But I think it is. It's a product of, you know, the extra time we are playing. And I think I've said it before. I used to make substitutions around the 60-minute mark, but knowing there's about half an hour or so to go. But now I know that very few games will last less than sort of 95, 96, 98 minutes sometimes. So you've got to factor that into it now. And I think that also means that, you know, your players need to be aware that 90 minutes is not the end of the game. A hell of a lot. You saw that last night, but still a lot can happen in that last period because, you know, sometimes we look at the clock and say, oh, it's the 80th minute mark, there's 10 minutes to go, but actually it's probably 20 minutes to go when you think about all the stoppages that can happen. And your players and the way you kind of use your subs, I think, becomes important in that.
And finally for me, you've often said about you don't look at the league table this year as being a barometer of success, but how your team are moving forward and for next season. But are you further on at this point now than when you walked through the door on day one you thought you would be?
I didn't have any sort of thoughts on where we'd be. I kind of knew, obviously, after the disappointment of last year that, you know, we had to show signs of progress or else, you know, might not even be sitting here if we didn't. So that was the first thing, is can we progress and what does progress look like? For me, progress looked like, well, the players we signed are going to be important, the windows. I think we've had two positive windows. Is there any doubt about that? How we play, well, you know, whether you think it's effective or not, we've definitely changed the way the team plays. You know, we've got kind of, we're in a better position on the table if people want to look at that. So you kind of, all those things suggest we have made progress, but I'm really, you know, my reticence around saying it's been a success is that doesn't mean progress means it's been a success, because I still think every year you go into trying to win something, and we're not going to win anything this year. So, you know, I can't walk away from that single fact, but in terms of getting us to the point where we can win things, well, there's enough signs there so far, but I still want us to finish the season strong to say that, you know, we're in a decent place.
Sorry, I was just writing about Nuno. You're not Nuno, obviously. Chelsea game, we now know...
Talk it out, mate. Just
trying to get out. We now know when the Chelsea game is going to be.
Yeah.
Obviously, you've kind of gone from having lots of a few weekends off and wanting more games. You've now got a week where you've got, I think it's Arsenal at home, Chelsea away, Liverpool away. Is that the other extreme? I mean, how do you view a week like that?
My point has been all year, and even that'll come back off the back of us having a weekend off again, 15 days without a game. So I've just said all along, it's not about the games or the weekends. We just haven't had any sort of fluency in our calendar. Like I keep saying, some of that's self-inflicted because we're not in Europe. You know, we haven't had sort of significant cup runs, but it just feels like now we're going to play a couple of games. We've had, you know, midweek game, play on the weekend, and play Newcastle, then we're going to have another weekend off. We're going to be sitting, you know, on our hands for 2 weeks, and then people say, oh, that you'd be nice and fresh, and then we're going to play 3 games in a week. So for me, it's just we haven't had the rhythm this year. Like I said, apart from maybe the first sort of, you know, 10 games of the year, you know, we had Carabao Cup, and there's a game pretty consistently then. It just seems like it's been stoppages, and we knew that anyway now going into that, you know, obviously with, you know, the teams we've got left, Man City's in the Cup, FA Cup, Chelsea are in the FA Cup. We knew we'd get it further disruptions. So it is what it is. We've just got to deal with it, you know, and sort of plan for it the best way we can.
The reason I mentioned Nuno is obviously he's coming back, I think it's for the first time this weekend. a very short spell relatively here at Tottenham. Obviously, now you probably know better than most people what it's like to kind of manage within this club. Kind of, you can see what a challenge it is for managers, regardless of how good they are.
Yeah, but I think every job, especially in the Premier League, is like that. I hesitate to say that Forest is a pretty big challenge as well. You know, so it's just the nature of, you know, the beast in terms of the competition you're in, and irrespective of which club you go to, and there's a far more shorter term outlook on everything these days, and that includes football. And as a manager, whichever job you get these days, you're not going to have the luxury of too much sort of leeway to not get things right. And some clubs move quicker than others, I guess, but for all of us, it's just the world we live in now, where, you know, that's the scrutiny you're under. That's, you know, there's a lot of sort of extreme reactions to things that you know, invariably make people take action. And more often than not, it's the manager that's kind of on the tail end of that. But yeah, you know, I think for all of us, we understand that. We go into these roles with their eyes wide open, and I'm sure Nuno, you know, when he went into Forest, didn't think it was going to be an easy task, and when he came into here, didn't think it was going to be an easy task. But like I said, that's, as you said, rightly said, that's not the measure of whether somebody's a good manager or not.
Briefly, I want to ask you about Giovanni Lo Celso. Felt like a season that was maybe going to promise quite a lot for him. Obviously, it looked like his future was maybe elsewhere, and then you and him kind of had a chat about what this season was going to bring. Been quite a fragmented one for him, obviously, had a few injuries. Why do you think it hasn't quite hit the heights and maybe not got the minutes that maybe he would have wanted this season?
Well, it's just all those things you said. It's just, but it's not just him. There's been a few in that boat where they just haven't had a real good run at it in terms of, you know, there has been injury disruptions. Other times when he's been fit, other players have sort of been playing in his position. But, you know, I still think, you know, he's been good for us this year. You know, through that middle patch when we had a lot of injuries, he kind of really stood up for us. And then he got his own injury, of course. And, you know, he made a real impact against Luton on the weekend, and, you know, really helped us sort of get over the line. So he's a fantastic player. But with all these things, you got to keep a perspective of, we're at a big club, we're going to have a big squad, and if it's not Gio, it'll be somebody else who will play that role next year. No one's going to play every game, and it doesn't happen, and it doesn't happen at all the big clubs. So, I've never really worried about, you know, whether sort of the game time players are playing. If they want more game time, then, you know, there are other clubs that can do that. I'm looking at contribution.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Picture the scene. All of your mates around, you've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Partner this with your team playing champagne football. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. There's nothing quite like a McDelivery. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
With somebody like Gio, like I said, he has contributed to us this year, and that's been the most important thing for me.
Sorry, just back on the financials. The club did announce a loss of 86 million. It's obviously, you know, big number. I mean, will that have a big impact on your transfer plans this summer?
See, now you're getting into the detail, mate. You're dragging me down. And as I said, my discussions around those kind of issues are not the minutiae of a balance sheet. It's about us planning to build a side that potentially can be successful. So that's what we're doing. And nothing that's going to come out in the balance sheet is going to disrupt those plans, because those plans are done in alliance with the people who make the balance sheets, for want of a better word. But, you know, it's not like, oh, we're going to wait for the financial results before we start thinking about who we're going to sign. All this stuff's already in planning, and we kind of know what position we're in and, you know, what we need to do in the summer. doesn't mean it's all going to come to fruition, of course, because you know, there's all sorts of things that other factors that come into it. But yeah, our planning is well underway into what we need to do. And but you know, there's no doubt that from our perspective, we're not one of the clubs that are going to be as restricted as others.
You've spoken a lot about the evolution of the team being more important than just getting into the Champions League. But is there not a financial pressure, though, to qualify, given it does give clubs a big jump in revenue?
Yeah, yeah. But it doesn't guarantee anything. I keep saying it. I don't know why people don't understand.
Well, I'm talking about the financial aspect.
Yeah, OK. So if I ask you, well, Newcastle made the Champions League this year. Did it help them last year? Did it make it help them this year?
Financially, it did, yeah.
But did it help them in a football? We're not banks. We're football clubs. Yeah, we're not financial institutions. I don't get measured by the balance sheet at the end of the year. I get mad, and you can see how difficult it is for a club to juggle Champions League, and if you're not building a squad. And you know, to be fair to Eddie, he's had horrendous injuries this year. You know, it makes it hard. What I'm saying is, Champions League, great. Money, great. Does that mean we're going to finish third next year? No. In fact, it's probably going to be more challenging. So my role in that is not to worry about the financial pressure of making Champions League, is to create a squad that hopefully can compete in the Champions League and keep improving in the Premier League and have success in the cup competition. So that's kind of where I differentiate. I'm not saying that, of course, everyone wants to, if they're not going to win the league, get into the Champions League because, like you said, the financial rewards, but that's not the measure. How much money you make is not why you get into the Champions League. It's what you do with that money, and do you build on it? Do you build a squad, or you just say, well, because we're in the Champions League, next year will be great?
It's the money that... the point I'm making is the money that comes with it that gives you the chance to build and pursue perhaps a more aggressive plan or do it more quickly because of that money's there to then go and use it. I'm not saying the Champions League by itself is a success.
Okay, so were we in the Champions League this year?
No.
So did we progress this year?
Yes.
So, again, we're saying the same thing, is you can do it with, you can do it without. It comes down to good decision-making, good coaching, good players, good administration. It's when you fall into the trap of thinking that money is the answer that you don't get the outcome. So, you know, I could have sat here this year and said, well, look, we don't have Champions League, we don't have Champions League's money, so how can I progress? So I never said that. I said, we've got to make progress. We've got to be better than we were last year. So if we're not in the Champions League next year, I'm not going to turn around and say, well, we can't progress because we're not. Yeah. So I think we're both saying the same thing, but I'm just saying that I don't think it's as big a part of it as people make out. The money's... it's a significant part of it, but it's definitely not all of it.
Thank you.
Okay, we'll end the broadcast section there. Move on to the embargo section at 10:30.
You may have answered this, but can I go back to
the financials?
The financials. The luxury tax in particular. I mean, you spoke about balance, but where do you like to see the balance? Is the idea that something like a luxury tax comes in?
Like I said, to me, it's what's the purpose of it, and I do believe that there needs to be competitive balance. Yes, there needs to be some sort of mechanism that doesn't mean that just there isn't some restriction on spending, both for the protection of the clubs, but also competitive balance, but not at the expense of striving for excellence, because you know, we've got a Premier League's a great product, and it attracts the best players, it attracts the best managers, myself excluded from that, and you don't want to diminish that, because if you diminish that, then you're kind of then not really achieving what you want to in terms of constantly trying to progress the code and progress the sport and make it a better spectacle for the paying customers. Again, it's not my space. I mean, if I was an owner, I'd love to answer these questions. I'd be all over it for you, you know. But I'm a football manager, you know, and you know, whilst I have a very basic understanding of economics and finances, and I understand the implications probably more than most because of, like I said, my background in sports where it was very, very prevalent. So, you know, when I was coaching in Australia, I was all over it because I had a salary cap. I couldn't go over that. So every time I signed a play, I needed to know the finer details of everything we were doing. But I didn't like that. So, well, but I don't know if the current model works well enough because I'm not involved in that. You'd have to ask the owners whether they think it's a good model or not. It depends. It depends on, you know, you with all these things, you know, whether it's an asterisk or it's a rule change, or they're all things that play into play in terms of, you know, how we all try and run our teams. You know, we all have to abide by rules. And if we go out on the weekend and we give away two penalties because of the new handball rule that doesn't exist, then we've got to cop it, mate. But there's no asterisks there. It's just the way football is. But I don't know the detail of that for me to give an opinion in terms of, you know, whether it's just or it's unjust. It's not fair of me to do that because, like I said, as I keep saying, I'm a football manager. Ask me any question you want on the football front and I'll answer it. If I ever see anyone in here answering football questions on my behalf, I'll be coming in here yanking them straight out. And I don't want anyone doing that to me. I don't want those players because they don't want to come to Tottenham. They want to go to a Champions League club. I signed Mickey van der Veen this year. He's not a bad player, is he? We were in the Champions League? No. I don't want those players. That's a beautiful discussion for me to have. That's one of the discussions I have. Why do you want to come to Tottenham? Because if you want Champions League football and that's all you want, you don't want to come to Tottenham. You just want to go to a Champions League club. I want people who want to come to Tottenham who know this club, know the challenge we've got, and we do have a challenge. We're different to other clubs in that we haven't had success for a while, so I'm looking for a certain type of character who's going to say, you know what, they're not in Champions League, but you know what, if I win something with them, that could mean something to my career and to me, so yeah, I'm up for that fight. So that's part of the discussion. I don't think that makes a difference to me in terms of the players. We've had two windows so far, and I haven't had an issue bringing the players I want to this club, even though we're not in Champions League.
So you don't see your desires to make your team sustainable in terms of their growth as being incongruent with bringing in the players that you want? It's more about character.
It's about growth of the team, as you said. So, you know, character is a big part of that for sure. But, you know, if their motivation is anything other than joining this football club, then I just think, for me anyway, I'm not saying that that's the right or wrong, it's just for me that's not the kind of, you know, players we need for this, for where we are at the moment, where we want to be. As I said, it's worked okay so far in the two windows we've had with the players we've brought in. They've all taken on the challenge of coming to a club that's hasn't got Champions League football, but hopefully they can do something more than that. You will. I can see.
It's played a big part of it.
Yeah.
Not just the attendance of the fans, but all the other uses it has. Mm. I mean, how much was the stadium a draw for you?
I mean, it's a fantastic stadium, and the facilities here are fantastic. So you kind of factor that into it, but it wasn't the reason I came to Tottenham. But now again, when you're talking about trying to compete at the highest level, you see how important it has become to have sort of other revenue streams. And, you know, I think for where we are as a club at the moment, without that ability to, you know, to generate revenue from outside just the football, difficult position to kind of continually have a team that can compete at the highest level against, you know, some of the other clubs. So, like I said, look, the main reason I joined this football club, more than anything else, I get it, it's a Premier League, I'm earning decent money, and it's high profile, and it's quite a great stadium, great facilities. It hasn't won anything for a while. That's why I came. And that's kind of the biggest attraction. So if they were playing out in the back of, you know, some other, you know, sort of stadium, it wouldn't have made a difference to me. It's what attracted me to was it. I see, you know, a really big club that hasn't had success for quite a while, and it's a great challenge for me. See a ceiling on anyone's potential. That's why we bring him to the club. And I've said all along. I mean, if we had this conversation probably 6 weeks ago, I think people were asking me, you know, why can't Brennan start games? And you know, it's all these things are, like I said, they're all a snapshot in time, and I understand. But I always take a broader view on these things. And I've seen him. You know, I think he's handled it really well. He was signing an attacking player, a young attacking player, to a big club. You know, we had minimum of 30 goals walk out the building at the start of the year, you know, and people are going to be looking at how we're going to replace that, you know, and it can weigh heavily on a young guy's shoulders like him. Not that we expected, you know, Brennan to replace Harry, but we needed goals and assists. But I've liked the way he's handled it. We've tried to sort of tread carefully with him because I can see the potential in him, and I can see, you know, how much he can improve, and the attributes he has. I've got no doubt will fit really well with this team, but I'm not going to put a ceiling on it because that would be unfair on him. But, you know, we like the way he's progressing, but we certainly believe there's more to come for sure. And Gareth Bale's a legend, mate. What a player. Sorry, John.
No, but like a few of them today. How aware of you? How aware are you of or conscious of that? Are you? How important is it in one day manager to have that kind of
look? I think it is important. It's not easy, and I'm not saying it because it's you guys, but yeah, you look at. Yeah, if you stay in this game for any length of time, the amount of times you have to do this and answer questions that can be repetitive at times or can be reactive to... But I've always kind of... I have taken that part of it seriously because I always feel like I said, as much as I'm talking to you guys, I'm not really talking to you guys. I'm talking to our supporters every week because that's the only chance they really get to hear from anyone from the club is me. And, you know, so whether, you know, I get a question that I like or I don't like, or the person asking the question, I don't like them, I do like them. But it becomes irrelevant to me because I just think they're not really asking me the question, they're asking the Tottenham manager in this case the question. And Anth does a good job of sort of briefing me, it's more about, like I said, I kind of take this as an opportunity to speak to our supporters on kind of where I'm at and where I think my thoughts are at in terms of the club, and take anything sort of as much as I can emotional out of it from my perspective, or personal out of it from my perspective. It's harder after games, for sure. They're a lot tougher. But, yeah, with these ones, you know, hopefully you have a bit of fun along the way. It's it's essential. It's not just progress is not sort of an endless road. Progress with the objective of being successful. So when does that happen? Well, I was hoping it was happening this year, but it didn't. So my plan is for it to happen next year. But, you know, at the same time, you've got to understand that progress is really messy. It's disheartening. It's dispiriting. It can really knock your enthusiasm because it's not linear. It's not just, you know, you're going to cop some blows along the way. And I know that's still ahead of us. We've had to manage a few this year. And so you understand that. But the progress I'm talking about leads to success. And if it doesn't lead to success, then you're asking questions to a different bloke next time. It's not me, because that's why I'm here. I'm here to bring success to the club. So when? Well, this year was my objective. It didn't happen. So now next year becomes my objective. And the quicker it happens, the better for me and for the football club. Yeah, I think it can help, but again, it's not. It can be a builder to helping you have more success the more you're in that competition, for sure, especially for a club like Celtic, where they tend to dominate the domestic league. You can get progress by consistently being in the Champions League, challenging yourself against better sides, learning from that. Hopefully, over time, then, you know, building stronger teams it's obvious that I don't have clarity about my message around Champions League, but we'll stay in that matter. What I'll actually do is, I'm desperate to make Champions League. I'd love to make Champions League. Champions League is what it's all about. Yeah. No, not annoyed, because, as I said, it just seems the way our season's gone. And like I said, some of it's self-inflicted because of our own sort of, you know, we haven't been in the competitions longer than others, so, or in Europe at all. But it's just been that way this year. I've just felt, you know, and again, it's a stark contrast to where I've come from Celtic, where we just seem to have, you know, games all the time and a real flow, that this year it just seems like no games and a lot of games and no games and a lot of games. So it's just the way it is, and we have to accept that ultimately. We know now we've got one midweek fixture, we're going to have another midweek fixture for sure, and we just got to navigate that and you know, try and do that to the best of our ability. It depends, because again, they're not all the same, you know. It's just an understanding of the person. I mean, my only point around the Champions League was if a player, you know, said to me that, you know, the proviso for me signing for you guys next year is to see whether you make Champions League, then I won't sign him. There's nothing wrong with having that ambition. You know, if somebody wants to come to this club because they want to play Champions League, that's great. But if that's going to be the determining factor, then I'm saying, well, probably you're not going to fit into sort of what I'm trying to do right now, because the reality of it is this club needs guys who are going to be up for a fight, because nothing's guaranteed here. You know, even this year we're not guaranteed Champions League football. So, you know, that's becomes part of the discussion. But it'll only become part of the discussion if it's brought up. And then beyond that, it's just like I said, it's each individual case is different. You treat every person differently. Thank you.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.